You can't just stare at me and expect me to say something. I don't have much to contribute beyond being loud. Daisy, can you please say something?
Podcasting is a visual medium. Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.
That's my line!
Oh, I took it.
Good morning, Tony Award winner Daisy Egan.
Good morning, Broadway legend Ellen Marsh.
Do you know, I have another podcast called Robbia and Ellen Solve the Case.
I don't know.
Well, now I can speak freely about my other projects, but neither here nor there. We had Connie Shulman on. Do you know Connie Shulman?
No.
Patty Mayonnaise, Yoga Jones in Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes, yes. I need you to remember something about me. I have the brain of an 80-year-old who's been through war and has CPTSD and, like, holes, like, literal physical holes in the brain.
You've seen some shit. You've seen some shit.
I have.
But anyway, my first question to her was, I was like, what does it feel like to be a living legend? Because she is. She is a living, actual legend.
And what did she say?
Well, Ellen, it feels great. We did the Rose Tattoo on Broadway together, and all I did was, oh, I was on Broadway. Was that my humble brag?
What?
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
It's still my favorite story about that guy who said that you only talk about your Tony Award. Yeah. I was like, that's me. We told the story on our live about the time I accosted people on the New Jersey Transit and showed them your Tony Award speech.
Yeah, and
did
I
we
was
share
mortified.
That on a live?
Yeah. One of the things I love about Patty Mayonnaise, what's her name?
Patty Mayonnaise. Okay. I mean, her real name is Connie Shulman.
Connie Shulman is her part in
Fried Green Tomatoes.
Oh, mm-hmm. God. I love her.
Iconic.
Yeah. I love that movie, too. She's also, like, one of those icons that can just walk down the street in New York and have a normal life. And she's not going to, like, be accosted. But people are walking amongst a fucking legend.
Yeah. We have brunch, like, every 6 months. But I do the same thing I do when I'm around you. I'm like, you know who this is, right? And she's like, Ellen, can you stop? Oh, I fucking love that woman. And I love you, Daisy Egan. I love doing this podcast with you. This is wild, though, because there's so much fucking content. It's 4 episodes a week. I'm flying by the seat of our pants here.
We really are. And then you had to go and get COVID, which was really incredibly inconsiderate. But I got home last night from my vacation and sat down with my family. And I was like, listen, I'm going to need your patience for the next few weeks. And they're like, okay, what can we, you know, what do you need? And I was like, I just need you to understand that, like, this is where my head is going to be for the next 3 weeks. I love you, but, like, not as much as Love is Blind right now.
Well, that's the thing, is that we say this, but we would be doing this anyway, mm-hmm. just on FaceTime and not with a microphone.
Exactly.
So it's, you say potato, I say
potato.
Shut the fuck up like Niche, you know? That's what's happening. And we need to go on a fall vacation with our lesbian lady troupe.
I also think that you and I should do ayahuasca together.
Well, have we talked about this?
Yeah.
Daisy and I will mm-hmm. be doing ayahuasca together. I think it's just a matter of what country. You can go Asia, you can go South America, Central America. What are you thinking?
So I've heard from my ayahuasca friends that a lot of the people in South America who do ayahuasca are Trumpers. So we have to make sure that we don't.
I want to know the statistics on that. That sounds very counterintuitive to me. I don't not believe you. I would like to see some data. I'm a researcher.
Oh, are you?
As a trade.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, for law, because I'm a lawyer mm-hmm. researcher. Mm-hmm. So how on earth is that true?
You know, I think it's the same way that, like, Naomi Wolf became an anti-vaxxer. Like, I think people go down a weird rabbit hole where they're like, you know, wellness practitionering that.
Oh, that kind, like the anti. Okay, yes, that anti-establishment. Okay, I see what you mean.
My sister did hers in Canada, and a friend of mine did his in New Jersey with a couple of, like, really lovely Birkenstock wearing lesbians. Actually, he didn't say Birkenstock. He said lesbians, and I assume.
Right. Obviously. Okay, well, follow us when Daisy and I do ayahuasca, because mm-hmm. we both revealed to each other that it is something we both want to do, and yeah. we're doing it together. Yeah. We have to dive into this episode.
Yeah,
Daisy, we're going to be here. Everybody, we're going to be here a long time. So if you don't have time right now, come on back, yeah. because this is going to be a 6-parter. It's episode 6 in 6 parts.
Yeah, and I would say, like, go take a bath, put on mm-hmm. a bunch of, like, body oil, like, do a face mask, have some tea, and
yeah.
then come back and, like, put on your seatbelt, make sure you're strapped in, because this is fucking wild.
And send the kids out of the room, for that matter. I'm not responsible for those fucking assholes.
No.
You know? We're in day 2 in paradise, which is obviously Riviera del Maya, Mexico.
Right.
We see someone in the shower. Again, I've made my shower sex statement. I'm wondering how the cameras were like, should we stay?
Right. This is an ongoing thing with Love is Blind, is that people will just like have sex with the camera crew there. It's crazy to me. But I guess maybe, like you were saying in the beginning, like I think they get so used to the cameras being there that they sort of don't care anymore.
Have you ever videotaped yourself having sex?
No. Have you?
Absolutely not. Not because I don't think that would be hot. I don't know if it would or wouldn't be, but also sex is so ugly and weird sometimes. I don't trust a motherfucker anyhow, anyway. And I'm going to run for Congress. I have several platforms to pitch, so I can't be out here doing that.
No, you can't. Although it didn't hurt Colin Farrell. Oh, have you seen his sex tape?
No. Mm. Colin Farrell, he's not in Congress.
Well, no, but it didn't hurt, you know.
No, I'm going to look up.
Colin. Oh, it didn't fuck with his credibility. At
Farrell
all. Oh my God, are you going to watch it?
Ugh. How do you find it? Hold on. I don't know how to find stuff.
Very easy to find. Yeah, it's just like there.
Wait. Oh my God, there's so much porn on the internet. Who's filming this? Oh, she's got a great ass.
Oh my God, she is gorgeous. And they've clearly fucked so many times that she's like standing there picking the music. She's like doing the flamingo pose. Like she's just cash. And he goes down on her and says, I could eat this for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I mean, that's actually the right response. Yeah. All right, that's for a separate tier. Daisy and I will recap that on a $10 tier, maybe 20. We're with Lydia and Milton, and Lydia is trying to pick out what he's going to wear like he is her goddamn child.
Yeah. You know what? This is where I start to realize that, like, I actually sort of like their, well, no.
You guys, just something to keep in mind. Daisy Egan writes her notes on, like, a spiral binder. Mm-hmm. I haven't written anything since probably 2015, and she has her notes on binder paper.
Yeah.
Mine are written on my computer, obviously color-coded.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, it's Stacey and Izzy having the shower sex. This is where we hear that he uses magnums.
He has a big dick.
Okay, we get it. And then JP and Taylor, it's like fucking crickets. And then Lydia is ordering Milton around about what he's gonna wear to the beach. She's got this up her ass crack, which, more power to you, your butt is terrific. Wear that.
Mm-hmm.
Black bathing suit, and she is insistent that he wear black swim trunks.
Because she wants to match. She wants to be like in a cute matchy-matchy thing.
And he's like, no, Mom, I brought these gray trunks. I want to wear them.
It is. I feel like you were about to say, and then you got distracted with your binder paper, that you like their dynamic. And I do too, but I think it's going to get old really, really fast.
Later, we're going to see a little bit more of their dynamic. Because at first, I was like, dude, fuck off about the trunks. Like, knock it off. But I really do feel like Milton is holding his own. And I
agree.
I actually think that that might be exactly what Lydia needs. I think that if she had a man who just sort of took it, kept his head down and did whatever she said, I think eventually that would break. But I think because he hands it back to her, I don't know, I have a feeling that that dynamic could work.
I actually agree, because he doesn't let her dominate. And my opinion of Lydia turns in this episode, just dun, dun, dun. But I agree. And, you know, I do think Milton is neurodivergent. And as someone who's neurodivergent, I see a lot of traits in him. And one of those traits is kind of like an inability for bullshit.
Yeah.
He kind of seems incapable of bullshit. He's like, no, these are the trunks I'm going to wear because these were the trunks I wanted to wear today. And I don't think she's used to it. And I think she kind of likes that, because she's used to walking all over men, you know, her Puerto Ricanoness. Oh, yeah. Like, she says that. She's like, I'm very demanding. I'm very bossy. I kind of respect that she turns it silly, goofy.
Yeah.
But I think it's because she's like, oh shit, I've kind of met my match.
Exactly.
In this 24-year-old kid.
Exactly. I mean, again, who knows where it's going to go? But that was my feeling in this episode. I was like, oh, I don't think she's used to having it dished back to her. And I think, like, in some ways he's, you know, he's a straight man. He's very dry. And I think it's good. I mean,
I have a question for you. I have been trying for about 6 episodes, because this is what I do, to figure out who Milton reminds me of. And I think I figured it out.
A young Lionel Richie?
Yes. Kind of with a cross between Steve Harvey. Like if Lionel Richie and Steve Harvey had a baby. Because I was trying to peg the mouth.
Yeah, I try to peg the mouth whenever I can.
You're disgusting. He is a cross between Lionel Richie and Steve Harvey.
Yeah. So then we see JP and Taylor. They're taking an ITV.
Hold on 1 second.
Ellen just quit. No, Ellen just quit the podcast. Ellen just walked out of the podcast. Like, she left. She was like, fuck this. I can't do this with you anymore. You are impossible. I don't like your fit.
Hey, Daisy.
Hey, what's going on?
Who are you talking about?
What? So what's her face and what's his face are on an ATV.
Are you just resigning yourself to not giving them any names or just Whitey Watcher?
Whitey and Whitey are on an ATV and like I fucking hate this dynamic.
I thought you were about to say I hate ATVs and then I was going to have to like hit stop.
No, I would be really into that, but it seems like she isn't. And I am 100% not with that thing that some men do where a woman is like, hey, I'm uncomfortable. And they're like,
totally. I'm totally all for being in a partnership and someone being like, I really love to do this. I would love for you to give it a try.
Sure.
And just say like, I know it might be scary, but let's try it. I never would have scuba dived if it wasn't for my ex-husband. Is it scuba dove? I think it's scuba dived.
It's scuba dove.
Okay. and he pushed me to kind of like overcome my fears. And I appreciate that. But it's that evil little sinister like he. Mm-hmm. No. It's 2023. We're not doing
that.
No,
we don't do that anymore. And then they're done with their ATV. She says, how are you feeling? And he says, sweaty.
Yeah. I like JP less and less with every passing moment. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that he has done right today on this date, other than on this day, he's actually not wearing anything that resembles the American flag.
I wrote that
so
down.
So 2 points,
good,
I guess.
Good job, you. I'm going to say something controversial. I want everybody to remember that I am a queer. Mm-hmm. I think he's gay.
Daisy, I wrote that. Yes. Yeah. I think he is a Southern-raised Bible, American flag, Trump 2020.
America first.
Love it. I agree. And that's why he was able to be so open and honest in the pods without seeing her, because it didn't have to be her. It could be anybody or a best friend or anything like that. But Taylor, I got to give it to her. I like her more and more with every episode because she's like, that's not a feeling. And then he goes, okay.
He also in this scene, I think it's in this scene where he says, I like your freckles. And I was like, oh, okay. That's a thing.
Yeah. And I feel like Taylor is about to call it a day.
I would be. You know, Jesus.
She is pumping a dry well. This woman is trying. You can see the pain and the confusion and just the ultimate frustration in her eyes. Mm-hmm. And he says that hopefully when they get back to Houston, they can start to become a stronger couple. And I was like, babe, at this point, I don't know if Taylor's going to make it back to Houston with you.
You're not going to get to Houston. Come on.
He says the first smart thing that's ever come out of his mouth. He says, I'm scared you're going to leave. I'm like, what gave you that impression? That she's miserable on this vacation?
Yeah, where have you been, my friend?
And he says, like, I don't know what to do. I was like, grab her, throw her on the bed, fuck her, tell her she's beautiful, ask her a single
question
about her life. There's so many things you can do, and you can turn it around. I mean, haven't you ever been in a situation where with someone and you're like, you know what, let's turn this around. Let's start over for the day.
Yeah, my husband. Like, we were like, okay, this life sucks. Let's do it differently. And we did. Yeah, I feel like the thought just went through the hole in my head.
There it went.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like he's never communicated before. He has no idea how communicating works. Again, it's like he stopped at 13.
And communicating can be scary.
Sure.
But even just saying, I'm scared.
Yes.
I'm scared to talk to you. I'm scared you're not going to like me. Say something. Communicate your inability to communicate.
And what the fuck are you so fucking scared of? Like, she's sweet. She's beautiful. She's trying so hard. Like, what?
Yeah, I feel Taylor is checked out and I do not blame her at all. So then Stacey and Izzy are playing mini golf. And the first thing that jumped out at me was that she said, yeah, daddy. Yeah, and then she says it later. Mm-hmm. Every time she said daddy, I just wrote down daddy. And I love a pet name. When your fucking pet names are great, baby, honey, little puddin', tater tot, sausage and peppers, my Crunchwrap Supreme.
Giant dick man. Guy.
Huge dick man. Do you know why women call their partners daddy?
Let me see. I'm just gonna guess off the top of my head. Who knows? Daddy issues?
Daddy issues, but also the big consensus of people think that they're submitting to a man's like masculinity, being a like submissive.
Ew, that
I I don't judge anyone for what they do sexually. I really don't. I'm like, cool. I would never, but it doesn't matter. I'm not in your bedroom. The daddy, and maybe it's because I do have daddy issues, the daddy makes me extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah. Again, yes, do whatever you want in the bedroom. I don't care. But yeah, there is something, what we're talking about is a daughter and a daddy.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it there.
I don't know. It's just very confusing to me, but they're making all kinds of sexual innuendos.
Lots
at
of
golf.
Stick jokes.
Very subpar. I love a good innuendo and a good outuendo, but you guys can do better.
Kurt has a tripod. And we don't walk around talking about his big stick constantly.
Yeah, you have told me about it. And then she basically says, and I kind of appreciate this, but I actually wish she wouldn't tap dance around the issue. She says that, I thought you were going to come on stronger. It leads me to believe he's kind of like a gentle lover.
Yes.
And she wants to get like fucked harder.
Yeah, she says,
and then she
wants
says
to
daddy again.
Yeah, I wrote the same thing. I said I thought they were fucking all over the place, but it seems to me that she's apparently dissatisfied. She wants him to pick her up and talk her around. But the other thing in this scene is that she says, I'm in love with you. And I think that's the first time she said it. And he says
yep.
it back.
Hold on.
Oh my God, she quit again. She just walked out again.
Christ on the cracker.
God, I don't understand. Like, she keeps walking. What? Hi.
Well, finish what you're
no,
asking. Who are you?
I was, what?
Sometimes you want to be, mm-hmm. you know, bent over the bathroom at the Arby's. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you want someone to tell you that they love you. Good on her for communicating, but also, like, just say it in the moment. Just be like, fuck me harder.
Thank you. I was like, but maybe not on the mini golf.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And also, you can tell, too, she's, like, wanting him to do that thing where he stands behind her and helps her with her putt. And he's, like, not
right.
picking up on it at all. Very strange.
You're so right.
So then we go to Milton and Lydia. She's still berating him about the shorts. He's still sticking with his guns. He's going to wear the gray shorts. I mean, it was funny. I thought it was funny. He finally goes into the closet to put the shorts on. And she's like, but you don't have the black ones. And he's like, yep. He does say that the pink doesn't go with the black, which,
yeah.
Milton, we should have a chat about how that works. He calls her bossy. She says, I'm not bossy. And then she says, what does she say? I think she says, I'm hilarious. And he goes, you're not hilarious.
Yeah. He just calls it out. He has no filter. He's like, you're old as fuck. I mean, he comes back. He is one of those people who just does not know how funny he is. And it's not even meant to be funny, but I am cracking
up. Do you think
up.
So? I'm hoping that he's meaning to be funny because it is really great. It is a great style
just
of humor.
You mean he's just being dry? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very you, Daisy. I mean, your delivery is so brilliant and dry and also makes me feel bad about myself. Sorry.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Hey, Amanda, can you
no, because I know you're kidding.
Could you cut
I
that
know
part
you're
out?
Kidding.
Could you cut
no,
the part
when you
out
say,
where I make her feel
no,
bad?
No, because it's like I know.
Just cut that part out.
I know you don't mean it. I'm crying because
okay,
I saw
you need to take a minute?
Movie. No, I know you. Okay.
You know,
okay.
Kurt is also incredibly dry like this, and now I'm wondering if he's neurodivergent. Maybe this whole time he hasn't been trying to be funny. And I've just been laughing, and he's like, she laughs at me all the time when I try
she
to communicate.
Laughs. I'm really trying to tell her some shit. So it's nighttime with Izzy and Stacy, and he picks her up, and she says, oh, daddy. And I was like, this is all I'm going to fixate on for the foreseeable future, I'm afraid.
He picks her up, and he does throw her the way she asked, but then it immediately just goes to like, okay, I love you, I want to go to bed. It's so weird. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. I am not sure about any of these couples this year.
Yep. Yeah, we are on a boat that is rocking hard. And it's very hard to get a handle. That was a lot of metaphors. So now we're back with What's-His-Face and Taylor.
JP and Taylor.
Uh-huh. And she says, we are not where we should
be. Well, Daisy, I know you feel like you can skip this part, but it is vital.
Oh.
JP is wearing a USA basketball jersey. The people need to know, Daisy.
Well, I do have it written later because not only is it a USA basketball jersey, but on the back it does say America and then the number one, which is,
right.
It just says America first.
It is to the point now where I feel like America may be actually sponsoring JP at this point. Like, this might be one huge brand deal, and we're just not, we don't even know. Like, because this can't be a real thing. I think that at this point, America was like, hey, we will throw you some bones and lots of apparel if every time you're seen on this TV, you wear the fucking flag. And he was like, can I use this snot rocket towel? And they're like, that is extra, my friend. You are brilliant.
Yeah, I'm sure he also has America First cum rags, but the America First thing, it's not good. It is not good.
It's creepy.
It's very scary.
Hey, I'm Italian. Do you have Italy shorts, shirt, and the rag to blow my boogies in? Thank you.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Oh, hey there. I'm, do you, I was wondering if you have a shillelagh and a shirt with an Irish flag on it and maybe a little leprechaun. Okay, so he's saying, America, fuck yeah. And Taylor is saying, I don't think we are where we need to be.
And then JP gets an American flag size bit of audacity. Ugh. And he says,
because you didn't get over the awkward part.
Because it's still awkward.
Because you harped on the awkward part and you didn't get past it. I don't think you've gotten past it.
Maybe I haven't. We'll go with that.
You've had one foot out the door this whole time.
I don't think our emotional connection's where it should be. That's where I'm at.
I know, and you don't change.
Well, today didn't make it any better.
Yeah, because you don't change.
The weird, I know you don't change thing, like that is a pretty basic thing about relationships, is that you change.
But she has changed because she's been driving all of the conversations. He gives her one word answer. She has changed. She is malleable because that's not how it was in the pods.
Right, exactly.
So she has been given the most and she's like, what changed? Mm-hmm. I don't even know what to say, so I'll let them say it.
I understand that you tried to present yourself and look as best you could, but I feel like if you would have presented yourself like this without any makeup, it would have been better.
So the way I looked made you communicate differently.
It felt like you were fake.
Ellen?
The Ellen-sized hole that is now in my living room.
Oh my God.
I cannot believe it is 2023.
Oh my
and
God.
And he is looking a grown ass woman in the face and say that he doesn't like her wearing makeup. And Taylor shut that shit down. I am so proud of her.
Taylor handled this a lot better than I would have.
And he's like, you had way too much makeup on. You had fake eyelashes on. You got makeup on
all my over
jacket.
He said it was caked on.
Mm-hmm.
Made her sound like she had clown makeup on.
First of all, it has to be said, Taylor has not worn makeup this whole trip.
Not one time.
And she is beautiful.
Gorgeous.
I actually do think she is prettier without makeup,
yes,
only because she is so beautiful. But listen, I know you don't wear makeup. Again, anybody can do what they want to do. Makeup is an art.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a skill. The way you can, you know, contour your eyes.
Yeah.
And I follow some makeup TikTokers. They're phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you are trying to make yourself feel better or however you feel beautiful. And we're going to launch into this. I want it to be said that, again, it is the how, not the what. Because he could have said, you know, you look so beautiful without makeup on.
He could have said that 700 times. He could have said on the first night, oh my God, you are so beautiful. And I knew it before, but like, wow.
Yes.
I love your freckles. I love.
This conversation is futile because they've been in Mexico for days. She hasn't been wearing, you guys, she has not been wearing a stitch of makeup.
Not a stitch.
And everyone is entitled to their taste. If a woman says, I don't particularly like men with facial hair, but this is controlling. He is policing her makeup.
100%. He is telling her that all the problems in their relationship for these 3 days is her fault for wearing makeup. And she's like, what do you want me to do? He says, don't wear makeup. And she says, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm like, fuck yeah, you are, girl.
Now I'm getting mad all over again. This Peter Griffin looking motherfucker wants her to stop wearing makeup. Great. Let's make a deal. How about you stop wearing fucking flags?
Yeah.
And she's like, and I won't wear fake eyelashes. Listen, JP is fine. But at this point, he has now made himself so ugly to me. He looks like he smells like cat piss and magnesium.
He is the kind of guy, like my ex-husband, who eats cat food as pate at a party.
I have so many follow-up questions, but I'm too mad at JP, and I would like to have a whole separate conversation about that. Honestly, this is bullshit, but Taylor is standing up for herself.
Yeah, and then she says, I'm not going to stay in here with you tonight, and he says, I don't care.
Yeah, she is so patient. Honestly, first of all, if I was her, I would go excuse myself and go to the bathroom and come out looking like Bianca Del Rio, number one. She's so patient.
Yeah.
She doesn't get mad, but it's like, bitch, your inability to communicate, oh, that's Charlotte Tilbury's fault. Like, he is saying, I have been a bad partner. I have not been communicating because on that first time we met on national fucking TV, you had fake eyelashes
on. How dare you?
Do you think they had sex at all? Do you think they tried? You don't think they even tried?
I mean, I can't imagine it. I also can't imagine how they wouldn't show that. They only have three couples. I would imagine they would have tried to show that. But she walks away and comes back, speaking of her patients, and he has no idea what just happened. He is so clueless.
He's a fucking dish rag. Ugh. I can't stand this guy. But she says, like, she's patient.
Yeah, patient. She's calm. I mean, again, she is doing better than I would.
She says, I appreciate you at least telling me about this. So what she's doing in my mind is like, which is something I am not good at. She is saying, let me take away this bad communication. Mm-hmm. The overall theme is he likes me without makeup, right? He went about it a balls ass backwards kind of way. Mm-hmm. So she says, I appreciate you at least telling me. She is Mother Teresa in my book right now.
Yeah.
And she says, I still love you. She is still trying to get this dusty-assed, thin-lipped, Woody Woodpecker motherfucker, this man who's trying to dull this woman's shine. She is still trying to, for the last bit, make some kind of a connection.
She is trying so hard. She is pulling as hard as she can, and he is a wet fucking floppy rag.
Yeah. So Taylor goes to sleep in another room, but you know, when they leave, JP is crying.
He is? He's not just sweating?
Yeah. Fair question. And I would be thrown off because he didn't have an American flag do-rag, but no, he's crying.
He would do that in front of her.
That's what I mean. I am baffled by this man.
Also, like, who raised you? Go help her with the door.
Yeah.
Say, like, can I help you? Like, who raised you?
Well, that mother who yelled a lot, remember?
Yeah. And then we see Izzy and Stacy in their selfie cam in the morning. Again, she looks like a completely different person with makeup on.
Mm-hmm.
It's remarkable.
I would actually love to see you get, like, a high glam look.
Me
just too. Out of curiosity.
Me too.
I'm going to have Joey do your makeup one day at Obsessed Fest. You're so gross. We then see Milton and Lydia. You know, everyone's packing to go home. Mm-hmm. And Milton's like, who are you going to call first? And Lydia says, my mom. And Milton says, I'm going to FaceTime my homies.
Mm-hmm. And she says, that is the most 24-year-old thing.
Yeah.
I was like, it's okay.
No, I get they're making a TV show, but they do keep talking about the age difference. He calls her old and she calls him a kid. And as someone who likes to date younger than me, I'm telling you, this is a precarious headspace to get into.
I completely agree. She needs to ease up a bit. Also, they're packing to leave the hotel and she's like, why are these towels on the floor? And he's like, because that's where they go. That's literally where they go when you're leaving the hotel. Relax, Lydia.
Yeah. I don't see good things coming. Living with someone is very different than dating them. Mm-hmm. I'm worried for the future.
Right. But I will also say that there are plenty of things to pick fights about. She needs to not pick a fight about every single thing because she's going to exhaust herself and him. I also apologize. My dog is barking and I don't know why, and there's not much I can do about it, so she can go fuck herself.
Can you give it away? I mean, we're making a podcast here.
I can just open the gate.
So JP is in the lobby waiting for Taylor, and Taylor comes walking up and JP is as still as a statue. I was like, did my TV freeze? And they make small talk. Hi, how are you? How was your night? And he basically says, I know it's been rough, but I want to work it out and get past it and find our connection again, because once we left the pods, the connection was gone. I was like, do you not subscribe to our podcast? Thank you for just saying information and recapping it.
Well, he says it's partly my fault.
Oh my God, thank you for admitting that.
It is
so sweet.
120% your fault, JP. And then I just wrote this quote down. I still have emotion toward you.
She said that.
What does that mean? I still have emotion toward you.
I think she's confused. I think that she's confused as to what love is, but she knows she feels something, but those emotions are being clouded by frustration and anger and maybe a little like feeling self-conscious. Is it me? Is it my body? You know, all those things. It's like you pour all those emotions in a cauldron and then you see what comes out. I feel for her.
Yeah. Oh my God. I completely do.
And she says, you're not the person I fell in love with. And girl, you are absolutely right. He's not.
No, he isn't.
And then, do you remember what he says?
No.
He says, okay.
Oh.
I would want to find that violin player that they ignored in the beginning and take that violin and smash it over my head. Yes, violins are very expensive instruments. I'd be like, bill it to Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't even know. This poor woman, I have never wanted to scoop up someone so bad and squeeze her and be like, it's not fucking you.
And she knows it and she says, I'm done. And this man has no idea what just happened.
I know. I think they're trying to set the record for the least amount of couples this season. What is happening? Netflix is, the writer's strike really set them back. And they're like, guys, we can have two weddings and two weddings alone. I don't even know if we can do that.
This was the couple that we all were like, it'll be fine. They'll make it, whatever. There's not much to say. Wow.
That's exactly what we said. We're like, they love each other. They'll be fine. That is exactly what you said, Daisy Egan.
I did.
Wow.
Listen, I'm the first to admit that I'm wrong most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, she is so far out of his league. They're not even on the same sport. And he needs to shut the fuck up and go vote for Trump and fucking fuck off and shut the fuck
up. Good luck to any woman who takes that on in the future. Because number one, you have seen this on TV. And number two, I would love to see who would put up with those lips and who is going to put up with that misogynist bullshit. And I'm so sorry. I hope Taylor gets every bit of a Colin Farrell sex tape coming her way. Whatever that woman wants, we need to protect her at all costs.
Who does he think he's going to find? Sorry, but have you met a woman Trump voter, aside from the ones who are like 75 and have given up? Have you met a woman Trump voter that doesn't have a full face of makeup on?
Right?
Who is he going to find?
I agree. And he is entitled to his opinion. I actually have been with men who are like, I like things a little more. Totally fine. But the truth doesn't have to be brutal.
No.
The truth doesn't have to be harsh. You can say your truth without hurting people. It's called nuance.
Yeah.
That's it.
Plus, you know who doesn't like to wear makeup? Women like me. I'm sorry, but that's not who you're going to be dating, my friend.
Yeah, and you're going to miss out on some sweet BJs.
Yes, you are.
Because that woman is a Hoover. So Nick Lachey doesn't listen to us, and he keeps talking, and he says how now they're on their way back to Houston to move into their gorgeous apartments that aren't theirs, and they have 21 days until the wedding. They get to go back to their lives. Shut the fuck up, Nick Lachey.
Shut the fuck up. We're down to two. We're down to two. 21 days till the wedding. We see Izzy and Stacy walking into their fucking shitty Oakwood Apartments corporate fucking particle board apartment. He's wearing his nice tight capris again. Not much to say about that, right?
Nope. And then we go to Milton and Lydia, and he's showing her how he sits on the counter to eat his dinner. And she's like, we have chairs for a reason. So now this dynamic is giving me Cole and Zainab vibes.
Getting there for sure. He is still able to dish it back out to her in a way that I don't think Cole was able to.
No, yeah, you're right. You know? Yeah. Milton is talking about how he doesn't have a very good work-life balance. I was like, please don't call me out like that. I'm just here sitting on my couch. And he says he's an engineer, and I have something to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Oh.
I don't know what people's jobs are. Like, if people don't say, like, lawyer, doctor, firefighter, or something beyond that, the minute they start saying stuff, like, I go out of my body and I don't know what they're talking about. Like, what does an engineer do?
Isn't that the guy who wears the blue and white striped pants and the hat, and he stands at the front of the train and goes, woo, woo.
I don't think that's what he does. I don't know what he does, but he works a lot in an office.
Does he work with, like, erector sets? Or is that an...
Honestly, this is something I should have done years ago. When someone told me what an engineer, I should have been like, what do you do?
Yeah.
But I didn't. I just pretended to know what that meant.
And now it's too late. Now you can't go back.
Way too late. It's like when you see an acquaintance over and over again and you don't know their fucking name, and it is way too late to ask, because you've run into them over the past 5 or 6 years, and then you can't be like, oh my God, I don't know what your fucking name is,
This whole time I didn't know what your name was.
Have you done that?
No, no, but I've gone years without knowing people's names. I just deal with it.
That's what I mean. But you've done that.
Like, sweetie, honey, little poo-poo.
You pass the threshold.
Yeah.
It's like there's no going back.
And God forbid I have to introduce them to somebody else. I just run away.
I actually don't say anything. If I don't know your name and somebody's here, I'll wait for you to be like, hi, I'm Daisy. I'm like, oh my God, Daisy, Daisy. This, and I wait for them to say their name. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so rude.
Same. Oh my God. I thought you knew each other. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. I thought you guys knew. That's totally my fault.
Brain fart. Yeah, so Milton says that he's going to have a 6:30 shift overnight. The tense music plays and Lydia's like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? We're never going to see each other. And it's tense for 15 seconds. And then Milton says, well, then it'll be for 4 days and then I'll have 3 days off. And the scene, it's like, oh, okay. So that wasn't really an issue. Great.
Yeah.
They really have two couples left.
They're milking like almonds here. Like, you can milk anything. Can you milk me? Anyway, back to Stacey and Izzy. Stacey says that her family is totally in on this journey, but she's worried that Izzy's mom has hesitations.
Yeah.
Because Izzy's mom was like, well, I know how you are. And Stacey's like, what did she mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
I think it means he's a fuckboy and his mother knows it.
Yeah. She is worried that he's going to change his mind. I mean, you know, she already broke the toilet. So they've already done that. Like, how, you know, I don't know. But this is again where he says he wants unconditional love.
How do you feel about that, Daisy?
Listen, Izzy, I'm going to kill your dog and I'm going to fuck your mother.
Yeah.
But that should be fine, right? Because we love each other unconditionally.
Unconditionally.
I'm going to burn your house down. Is that cool? Like, stop it.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. And now Lydia is going to see Milton's apartment. And she says, I'm excited to see your crappy part. And then Milton goes, that's not English. I was like, okay. All right. We see Milton's apartment and Lydia's not impressed.
No, she's not impressed. He has a cowskin rug. She's not happy with the cowskin rug.
She says, this is horrible. There's nothing on the walls. Everything is white. You don't have anything. This is horrible. This is heinous. She is not lacking for words to express how much she hates his apartment.
Hold on. Hi.
It's like, it's always something. It's like Grand Central in her fucking house.
Can you take
And she doesn't even care about this podcast. And I take it way more seriously than she does. She's got this like little person living with her. I don't even know who it is. She says it's her kid. I don't believe it. Like,
hey, I'm back.
Hey.
Oh, were you?
I was talking to Barack Obama on the phone.
Whoa. Yeah. What?
Let's keep going. She does not like his apartment. She's not even hiding it.
Right.
Also, stop being a cunt.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I think that there is this horrible, toxic femininity myth that a lot of women subscribe to, which is like, I'm supposed to nag my partner. Mm-hmm. That's how marriages work. I nag him and he sits there and drinks beer and I nag him until he doesn't. And it's like, no, we're not doing that anymore. Don't do that. I think that is her vibe is like, I'm going to browbeat you. I'm going to henpeck you.
Total browbeat. That's such a perfect word. Yeah.
But, you know, again, like, he's sort of like, okay, that's my rug. Like,
what did you think about the stack of ones? She goes in the bathroom and finds like a huge stack of ones. And she's like, is this for like a strip club? He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I was Whatever. Like, let the man live.
Yeah, he was a single dude. Who cares?
Yeah, who fucking cares?
You know what? Maybe we'll find out that Milton is a dancer and those are his tips.
Everybody likes a 6'7" man to slide down a pole.
But you know what? I will say that, like, he is giving it back to her in a way that, like, it does sort of come across as, like, a cute dynamic. It needs to not be that 100% all of the time because it will break. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. like, she had a little jokey in her voice about the rugs. I thought I could be just pulling for them because this is so bleak.
So then he's got this microscope on the counter and she's like, oh, can I look? And he's like, no, I don't want you messing with it or touching it or touching the settings. And she's like, who's the geologist here? And they kind of have a real little tussle. He sort of grabs her arms aggressively, but she's being aggressive and touching shit that he nicely asked her not to. I felt this going to a toxic place. She's like, who's the geologist? He's like, don't touch anything. It's really old. It's going to fall apart. And she's like, oh, I used these in college. And like, you can tell he's like, please don't touch my fucking stuff.
Yeah, I did wonder briefly if maybe he had, you know, a semen sample in there that he'd been.
No! He did not. No, that was kind of like a little bit disrespectful. Like he set a boundary. He's like, actually, please don't touch that. And she literally touched it.
Yeah, that was not okay.
But then he tried to physically grab her. And I was sort of like, well, we don't do that either.
Yeah. I mean, he says, this is not like the microscopes you used in college. And she's like, yes, it is. And he goes, no, this one's old and falling apart.
Yeah, I don't know.
So then we meet his roommate, whose name I don't remember.
Josh,
with his khakis and his belt and his shirt tucked in. And it's just two blurbs living together in a white beige apartment talking about Pokemon. Apparently, Milton got banned from American Pokemon servers for talking Pokemon shit.
Listen, you can't come on the Pokemon server and start talking smack and not expect to suffer some repercussions.
Yes. You can't be like, your Raichu is bunk ass punk bitch whack. I don't know what you said.
Yeah, I don't know, but he apparently is like Sean Connery of Pokemon. He's just like the bad guy.
Yeah.
Even in front of Josh, Lydia doesn't stop. She's like, you guys have Playboy magazines. And it sort of puts Josh in a spot to be his campaign manager. He's like, listen, Josh is a down bitch.
Yeah.
He's like, Milton fucking did A, B, and C, worked his way, started making six figures out of college. Josh starts being this man's like advocate.
It's great.
He's like, you're giving him a hard time, but he's actually just like one of the best guys I know.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know if Lydia knew how much money he made.
Oh, I feel like he said it at some point. I feel like he had that exact speech in the pod. I could be misremembering, but I feel like I remember him saying, I graduated high school already with my AA and I was making six figures right away. But maybe I'm making that up.
Maybe you're not. He didn't even tell her that he was black. I mean, there were things that he didn't talk about his appearance. He just made that one comment about being tall.
Everybody needs a friend like Josh. He's a great wingman. He's the hype man. He's the hype man we all need in our lives.
Total hype man. Oof, here we go. This is going to be fun.
So we go to Izzy and Stacy, and they're going to see Stacy's house, her fucking three-story townhouse for the first time.
And she's driving a gorgeous Mercedes. Now, I knew Stacy had money. I could tell by the way she dressed. She was wearing those Grey Goose sneakers. She was wearing the Versace heels. I can tell Stacy comes from or has a lot of money.
Yes.
And she gives him a tour of this gorgeous house, which is under renovations. Listen, I love nice things. I love getting a deal, but I will spend money on things that I value.
Yeah.
There are some things that I will not cut corners on. Most everything I will try and find the best possible price. I'm a coupon clipper. I love a promo code, all that stuff. And I do believe in having nice things and being proud of nice things, if that's what your jam is. But I kind of felt her to be a little bit braggy. So then Stacy and Izzy have a very important conversation.
That they should have had in the pod.
Yes. They start talking about money, about investments, about 401k. Money is absolutely important. It is a vital conversation to have.
Especially for somebody like Stacy, for whom it is incredibly important. If money is that important to you, and I'm not judging, if it's that important to you, have the conversation right away.
The thing that I support is having a conversation about how people spend. Like, for example, I am a big saver. I'm always going to research something, get the best price, wait till it goes on sale. I bought a majority of my furniture Black Friday last year.
Yeah.
I picked it out. I put it in a cart. I waited for Black Friday sales. That is how I choose to spend my money. I'm not big on cars. I don't need fancy things. Some things I won't scrimp on. I love good bed sheets, for example. I love quality bed sheets. So how you spend money, because like my ex-husband was horrible with money.
Yeah.
We did not jive money-wise. We're going to find out Stacy is, she just is like a name brand, you know, the Grey Goose sneakers and stuff. But how you spend and save money is a big conversation. So I want to say that I don't think that the actual essence of the conversation was not important.
Right.
It's her take on what she expects that gave me the ick.
Yeah. And also, again, like say that up front. He gets nervous real fast. He starts chewing on his lips. He starts tapping his foot. He has the thing that I do where he starts like eating the insides of his cheeks when he gets scared.
Yep.
He says dinner should be 50-50. Whatever. She's like, no, that's not true. The man pays. Look, you know, that's gross.
She said, oh my God, I've never asked someone to split the bill. But when you're in a relationship, I don't actually think splitting the bill is super sexy, but it's kind of like it all comes out in the wash.
Exactly.
You know, you pay, I pay. Mm-hmm. I paid for the vet bill. I filled up the 100%. Car. In any situation, even with friends, it's like I pay, you pay. Who fucking cares? Right. So I kind of think they were both wrong. I kind of think both wrong. You know, splitting the bill is also weird. But expecting, what year is Stacey living in?
That's the thing. That's the thing. Like, do it however you want. But for you to be like, the man pays. Like, first of all, you are clearly the one in this relationship with money. So what are you talking about? And no, when you are married or you're in a long-term relationship, no. Again, I get it. Like, we're not the most traditional people, but like, I make the money in this family. Mm-hmm. Kurt does all of the other fucking things. When we go out, I pay because I'm the one making the money, and it's never been a problem.
Well, because you're fucking grown-ups.
Yeah. And his dick is so big.
So gross. Every dynamic is different. If one partner goes back to school and the other needs whatever it is, you know, she says, if I go on vacation, we're going luxury, we're going 5 stars, it's not going to be cheap, which I don't begrudge you for liking nice things. I like nice things too, but we all have to live within our means. Mm-hmm. And it's also not important to me. Like, Joey and I went to Disney World and we stayed at one of the budget places because we're like, well, we're not going to be in our hotel rooms.
Right.
I don't care.
Right.
So I kind of feel Izzy gets very defensive and weird. I feel like she is also emasculating him a little bit because she's saying, I have all this money. Your finances need to be in order and then you need to pay.
Yeah.
I'm getting whiplash.
Yeah. She has some serious issues around. I mean, she does call him daddy. So, and she says, you know, is this in this conversation where she says he shouldn't have to pay for everything? He will, but he shouldn't have to. I'm like,
right.
Girl, you come from a different place than Izzy does, and
it seems painfully obvious to me by the physicality that Izzy is expressing that he cannot support her expensive taste, nor should he want to. If you want nice things, go buy yourself nice things. Don't say, now you're my partner, now you're gonna buy me the nice shit that I like. That's... you know, and she just, she has impeccable taste. She's always beautifully dressed. She wears gold jewelry. There was a Chanel bag in the background. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes nice shit. It's just how people prioritize how to spend their money.
Right.
And you can't say, hey, go fix your credit so you can buy me the nice things that I like to have, wear, and drive.
You, the person that I met a month ago.
It's just weird. She's very misogynistic. She's very backwards.
Yeah, she has. I think she has a ton of internalized misogyny. I mean, again, I think calling your partner daddy speaks to some. Look, again, do what you want in the fucking bedroom. I don't care. You don't have to DM me. I'm just saying it speaks to some stuff. It speaks to some stuff. And then she says, I love you.
Yeah.
And he says, I love you. And they're like, oh my God, that's going to be our thing. We're going to say, I love you. I'm like, all right, that's fine.
Okay.
So now it's 18 days, TikTok, to the wedding. And we go to a nice restaurant. And there's Aaliyah sitting there waiting for Uche. Oh no, Aaliyah.
I said, oh, Jesus Christ, out loud. I just, on my couch.
Yep.
She's sitting there and Uche walks in and she basically says,
I regret leaving you like that. I do love you. Like, never felt the connection that you and I have with any other man. I've never talked to any other man in this world about the things that I've talked to you about. My heart is still in your hands.
What do you think about all of these things? I feel like she's humbling herself so much.
Ugh.
And he's the one who needs to humble himself. That was the most heartfelt, unnecessary apology I've ever heard.
Yeah, but he's unaware. He is unaware. He is like JP. He is unaware of his part in any of it. It has never occurred to him that she might have walked out for something he did. You know, to
hey. So I was thinking about this because I was watching her body language. I mean, she was wearing this shirt with like sort of poofy shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of drew more attention to the fact that basically her shoulders were in her ears and she was breathing really heavily. Of course she's nervous.
Yeah.
You know, I'm throwing that out there. Of course she's nervous. It then dawned on me, is it possible that Aaliyah left the experiment because she was experiencing or felt like she might have been on the brink of experiencing a mental break? Here's the thing. This woman was tormented, psychologically tormented by apparently the man she loves and apparently, allegedly, her best friend in the house.
Yeah.
I feel like space needs to be made for the idea that Aaliyah had no safety net. She had nowhere that was safe for her. Uche never established himself as a safe space. Mm-mm. Aaliyah, who the fuck knows what she was doing? And then production is there to make the best TV show.
You mean Lydia? Who the fuck knows what Lydia was doing?
Who the fuck knows what Lydia was mm-hmm. doing over there? If she was actually playing some kind of voodoo trickery on uh-huh. her, getting close to her, we don't know yet. I feel like that is going to be a cutie gate situation and we're going to find out. And then production is over there trying to make the best show and yeah. egg everything on and feed them bagels and then sometimes not feed them bagels. I don't know. It just dawned on me that Aaliyah might have been struggling more than just that situation.
Or even if it wasn't more than that situation is enough. You know, I said that I thought she left to protect herself from him. I think in some ways I'm right. I think like she probably didn't feel stable and knew that if she went in the room with him, he was going to put her off balance again. I think she was probably protecting her mental health.
I feel like she was setting boundaries and she was trying to protect herself. And I always go back to the idea that Aaliyah is an ICU nurse mm. and her whole life is giving and empathizing and being kind and taking care of mm. others. And I feel like she might have just been so exploited by so many people. Yeah. She's giving this heartfelt apology that is riddled with anxiety. Mm-hmm. I just found myself thinking, oh my God, I don't know if Aaliyah is okay.
I agree. And he was giving her nothing in return. It's a cliffhanger. We'll come back to them. But like facial expression wise, any sort of empathy, there was nothing coming out of him.
No, absolutely not. This man has offered zero empathy. Mm-hmm. Everything is going to be someone else's problem or someone else's issue. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because a lot of people, I try not to read anything online, mm-hmm. but the algorithm is like, we know yeah. you love Love is Blind. A lot of people were comparing him to SK from last year. I think SK was a covert narcissist, and I think that Uche is an overt mm-hmm. narcissist. I don't think Uche is like, puffs out his mm-hmm. chest, and he puts all his ugly out mm-hmm. there, and then pulls back, and underneath it pulls back the love, and SK was just a sneaky snake slime ball.
Yeah, I think you're right, and SK, like, yeah, it was the opposite. SK was like, sort of sweet and gentle, and then it came out.
I don't know, but like Daisy said, we are on a cliffhanger and we will be coming back to this. I'm afraid I'm gonna have to watch this next episode tonight because I absolutely cannot wait.
Oh, definitely.
But until then, thank you so much for really expanding your mind and becoming a better person mm-hmm. with us here on Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. That is what we aim to do. Mm-hmm. We are,
it's a public service,
scientists. Yeah, and we're here. We're just so happy we can do it.
You're welcome.
Please follow Grab Bag Collab on socials and interact with them and send them all your love, and be sure and catch Catalyst and Dear Daisy, where Daisy takes all of your secrets and she judges
you. Makes fun of you. And you can catch the gorgeous, talented, lovely firecracker of a person, Ellen Marsh, on her socials, as well as her other podcast. She's got Ellen and Robbie Solve the Case, a true crime podcast, which you have to check out. It's so fucking good. And I Think Not, with the gorgeous, well-hung, so talented, fucking freak of a voice, really great butted Joey Taranto.
Great butted. Check it out. And don't forget to check Daisy out on Strange and Unexplained, one of my favorite podcasts sure. there is out there. And it's equal parts scary, and she reads you for filth mm-hmm. if she needs to.
I will do that.
This is the best one. So thank you so much. And we're going to keep going with this shit show. And we love hearing from you. So if you're on our Patreon page, shoot us a message, ask us some questions, and tell us what you think of this messy ass season.
Can't wait to watch the next one and pour it all out for you.
Can't wait. All right, until then, love you, Daisy.
Love you, Ellen.
Bye. Bye.